Right, welcome back. So, report of the first group.
Thank you. We started off talking about the proposals on the classification of cash flows. And I think it's fair to say that there was relatively little support for the proposals coming out from both CMAC and GPF members. That there were some comments that actually, to some extent, it doesn't really matter where some of these amounts are actually presented because they're actually relatively visible in the financial statements at the moment, and really it just becomes a question of where in a particular line item that you end up putting things. So they wondered whether actually this represents significant improvements on what we have at the moment. When we talked about the proposal to positively define operating profit, I think there were some questions about whether it's actually going to be particularly easy to sorry, I was talking about operating profit, but obviously I mean operating cash flows. There was a question about whether defining operating cash flows was going to be particularly easy, and that actually the current situation where it ends up being a default category, where effectively you define what's not the operating cash flow, might actually be the easier way to go. We had quite a lot of discussion about the proposal to put expenditure on property, plant and equipment into operating. Again, with relatively little support from both GPF members and CMAC members. That there was, I think, from the CMAC members, an acknowledgement that if you could actually separate replacement expenditure from enhancement expenditure, then it might be quite useful to have those two things separately and report them perhaps in different places. But I think there was a general acknowledgement that actually that is incredibly difficult to do, and certainly the preparers in the group were saying that really is just impossible. Whenever you look practically at something, it's very difficult to do. And I think the users accepted that whenever you buy something, you are often enhancing. It's very, very difficult to say whether it's a genuine replacement or an enhancement, and in many cases it's a combination of both. I think there was some support from the users for the proposals in respect of interest and separating out the idea of interest from customers and perhaps saying that should be operating, and interest sort of financing should be elsewhere. There wasn't an enormous amount of enthusiasm, but some suggestions that actually to some of the users in the group would make some sense. We then moved on to the questions in terms of cash and cash equivalents and management of liquid resources. I think there was some scepticism about the proposals, about whether actually the definition of liquid resources would be broad enough to capture everything that you would want to see within a management of liquid resources, whether it was actually useful to have a very strict definition of cash. And we also had some discussions about, well, what happens when you have cash but there are perhaps some restrictions on the ability to get hold of that cash. Actually presenting that as straight cash might actually potentially be misleading. In terms of the reconciliation of operating activities from the statement of profit or loss to the statement of cash flows, I think against the users there was some support for this idea. I think there were some suggestions that actually in a lot of their analysis that's what they're trying to do, is actually to reconcile those two balances. I think there were some concerns expressed by some of the preparers in the group, again, about the practicalities of providing that information. That's a sort of very brief summary of the discussions. The rest of the group, have I missed anything substantial from the discussions we had?
I think that it has been said that the reconciliation should start at on the net results. I think that it has been said so.
No? Sorry, the reconciliation should...
The reconciliation should be from the net results. The cash flow. I think that it has been said that way.
In our group, it was more starting from the EBIT, something like EBIT or operating profit to operating cash flows, more than net results. So this is in our group, actually, was it? Yes.
Yeah. In an ideal world where we know what operating profit is, that's where we should start.
in our group it has been said that we know what is net results, so it's why it has been said that net results would be better. But I just repeat what has been said by the other.
There was some discussion in our group about whether, because of the fact that we don't have a requirement for an operating profit subtotal at the moment, whether actually EBIT would be the right place to start in terms of the reconciliation. And there was a discussion around that. But we are actually later on this afternoon going to come on to some of the discussions that we're going to be having in our primary financial statements project, where one of the proposals might be to look at perhaps defining operating profit, which might solve all our problems.
Well, should we? Should we have the reports back first, unless it's a comment on
my? I think it might be a comment on my summary. Was it something I missed significantly?
No, it was operating profit again, but that's
okay. Let's widen the discussion. So, Andrew or Tack? Andrew.
Thanks, Stephen. Yes, we had a very wide-ranging discussion. I'll try to pick up the main points. On question one, there was diverse views about the proposal that tax should be dealt with in a separate section of the cash flow statement. There was a view that it's actually quite useful to segregate the tax cash flows into those that relate to your operating activities and show them within operating, and show the rest where they more sensibly belong. On the proposal of PP&E, we had quite a lengthy discussion about the possibility of separating your expenditure between that which represents replacement and or sustaining the business and that which represents expansion. I think there was a pretty consistent view that just cannot be done, especially as replacement is really with identical assets. Nearly always replacement is with superior assets, because technology and the quality of assets therefore has moved on, and therefore it seems sensible just to require discussion or disclosure of that rather than have a firm view about it. It was also noted that that does give rise to a discontinuity in the way that we account for or reflect in the cash flow statement expenditure on PP&E and business combinations. And it was wondered whether it's correct just to rely on the IFRS 3 distinction, which, as you know, is up for revision at the moment. Cash and the focus on cash, going to question two, I think there were quite a lot of reservations about the proposal, particularly with the focus on cash. It was noticed that large companies typically do not hold large amounts of cash. They're usually investing it in some shape or form, and that maybe there should be an alternative focus, perhaps net debt, or perhaps liquid resources or something of that nature. Turning to question three, the reconciliation. Seemed to be a very clear view that the reconciliation is helpful, but several people expressed the view that really what they want is rather more. They want a line-by-line reconciliation of all three of their financial statements. They felt the reconciliation should start with operating profit, but as Rachel's mentioned from her group, the problem is that operating profit is neither defined nor required at the moment, and it was felt that that could only be taken forward if an operating measure was also required in the P&L account. And ideally, all three statements ought to be aligned. We even got into the statement of financial position and wondered whether it should be rejigged to reflect some sort of inconsistent approach across all three statements. As I said, it was a wide-ranging definition. I'm sure that there are some points that I've missed, and if anybody from that group would like to point out some of my omissions, I welcome it.
Is to be none. Okay.
Well, I think we, to be honest, I heard from the first group there were some reservations about changing the position of say the interest and the dividends, etc., and taxes. At least my takeaway from our group was we were pretty positive about the proposed changes, actually, and we would welcome the changes. I think that's fair to say. I don't think we were that negative compared to the first group.
Okay, well, the third group is negative, as Kachira is about to reveal.
Thank you very much. So let me report back from our team. And in our group, unfortunately, for many suggestions, people disagree. So starting from the question one, in terms of the question one, and also on the first suggestion, operating activities thing, people understand conceptually having the category which presenting the operating activity might be useful. At the same time, the big question is how we can define the operating activity, and also if we define the operating activity, which will be consistent with income statement or it's different, and that's the big question we had. And we had a very heated discussion on the second suggestion about PP&E, and we had a consensus for CMAC members, GPF members, everybody disagreed. And so basically the first question everybody asked is, why do we have to change? Is there any existing problem in the current practice? That's the starting point, and people did not see the problem in the current practice. And also people realize that if we do that, there's a huge volatility in the operating cash flow. People understand the subtotal will create like additional information which do not have volatility. At the same time, members think that it would be confusing for stakeholders. And also, it may raise difficult questions. For example, what do you do with intangible asset? For example, intangible asset is purchased, or like intangible asset is created from the R&D activity. So the question is, in these situations, everything will become the operating, or part of them become the investing, so it's not clear. And also, members think that the current cash flow statement provide flow of the cash flow. Company receive cash by financing activity, and then company invest money in the investing activity, and then company has a day-by-day cash flow in the operating activity, and the suggestion might affect this current flow of the cash flow. Those are the comments we've received on the second suggestion of the PP&E. And the third suggestion, cash flows related to the financing liability. So people think that the more important thing is that, so we should eliminate choice. That's important. And also, in the current practice, sometimes, although there is a requirement for disclosure, cash tax or cash interest, investors have difficulty in finding these figures sometimes. So making sure this information is easily available to users, that's more important thing. And in terms of requiring it to the like financing category, not necessarily everybody agreed, and even users said that including in operating category may make sense. So those are the feedback on the third item. And in terms of the tax, cash tax, people made comment, said including in operating category is okay, and the question is, do we have to change? So those are the feedback received on the first question. And in terms of the second question, which is cash equivalents and management of liquid resources, there's a consensus or disagreement for the suggestion. And the people think that more important issue is what's in the cash equivalent. That is more important. Sometimes in the cash equivalent, there are some items which are not really liquid. So clarifying and clarifying this area is more important rather than focusing on the suggested area. And in terms of the question three, the reconciliation of operating activities and the direct method. From the user's perspective, reconciliation is very important, and there is a support. At the same time, there is a disagreement about the starting point. We understand that the suggestion is reconciliation starting from the operating profit. However, people think that starting from the net profit, that is more relevant. And also, we have heard a question from the GPF members, that is, do we really have to require reconciliation for all industries? In some industries, accrual-based number and the cash-based number might be very different, depreciation, amortization for these reasons. However, in certain industry, chances are the differences are not that material. The question is, when the company used the direct method and the difference is not that big, still, do we have to require these reconciliations? So these are the comments I heard, and I would appreciate if the group members have, like, I missed anything, please. Like.
One very brief comment was just to underscore the importance of disclosure of cash taxes and cash interest, that you know, again, preference for cash from operations thinks it's the most sense, but don't give preparers the options because it can be inconsistent. So we need disclosure and we need consistency.
Just on the last point on the direct versus the indirect method, just to highlight what we identified, we had no one in the room who used direct or looked at accounts with direct, and therefore we needed to learn from someone who does use the direct method what the impact would be of requiring a reconciliation to an operating profit or earnings number.
We may get to that later if we have time, but okay, thank you. So last group, Mary?
A remarkably peaceful and obedient group in the sense of staying away from getting sucked into direct versus indirect as the focal point. We touched on that kind of obliquely in some of the points that we covered, but first overview, in the context of a project that was focused on improvements but not clean sheet of paper rethink, there wasn't tremendous enthusiasm for any one of the items as being the breakthrough item that would give, you know, great insights or was really worth pursuing at any cost. I think the message that came out pretty clearly is the objective that everybody supported was understanding better the link between a measure of operating profit and cash flows from operations. For a few reasons, one is kind of a validation, but the phrase that was used was cash flow conversion, and understanding what was going on in terms of cash flow conversion from the business was, I think, an objective that everybody shared as what we should be trying to achieve, and you know what information people are looking for from the statement of cash flows. I think one addition to that was the observation that understanding working capital variations is often quite important in terms of getting that overall understanding. Having said that, the issue of how do you get to that better understanding really moved us to a discussion of the reconciliation and what's your starting point. I think everybody wanted to push it up, further up the P&L from net income after tax. And I think there was some range of views around whether that would be as high as operating income, you know, as a starting point, operating profit, because of concerns that it wasn't defined now, how much good progress could we make with getting either a tighter description or a definition, we the ISB, around operating profit, and maybe a bit of a range of views about the relative importance of a consistent starting point that everybody defined approximately the same way versus getting to that operating profit as it was defined by the company, if not. So that kind of weighing those two factors was a consideration that was identified further. I think some support for a positive definition or description of operating cash flows with the segregation of other items in terms of operating cash flows from operations now being a residual that gets everything there. That again relates to that issue of better understanding operating profit. That was one view that I think nobody objected to, but again didn't think it was the breakthrough moment. And the idea was to segregate the rest. If you move from net profit further up to the P&L, without talking about how far you got up, it did mean, for example, that tax would be separate. We had some discussion about whether cash flows, tax payments, should be allocated to operations and other items. Generally, that wasn't supported, and so that seemed to be support for having cash tax payments separately rather than included in operating profit. Some concern that this could fall into the trap of becoming the country-by-country tax disclosure, et cetera, you know, kind of a distraction in terms of what were we trying to achieve in a project on statement of cash flows. On a couple of the other specific points that we touched on as we went through, there, in terms of interest and whether you would combine payment, the interest element with the related payment, I think views on that varied depending upon whether you looked at it as taking the interest number that's disclosed today and splitting it and allocating it, or whether you viewed it as no longer having to split the payments into their interest portion and their other portion. People didn't seem to have a strong reaction one way or another to this being a critical item. In terms of cash and cash equivalents, whether it was good or not to split those, I think the views were mixed across the group, just and not CMAC versus Global Repair members, just mixed views within the group. And in general, there was agreement that was not supportive of taking capital CapEx cash payments and including those in operating cash flows. While there was a kind of conceptual recognition that if you take out depreciation because it's non-cash, there isn't an equivalent that you're putting back, but it seemed to get away from the notion of how cash conversion of your operating profit number. So I think that those were the main messages from the discussion that we had as a group, and I'm just looking around the table to see if there's any further comments from people who are in that first/fourth group. Have you number ourselves? Okay.
Not a massive amount of support. Can I just ask, so the proposal about having CapEx in operating with the subtotal operating cash flow before CapEx, operating cash flow after CapEx, who here said in their group meetings that they supported it? I don't think there was anybody in my group, but amongst the rest of the group?
Am I the only person?
So I think, Malcolm, you said there was some support.
Well,
so Malcolm, there's nobody.
We run our business, and
I'm amazed, actually. It's not perhaps the first time today I show some frustration. But we are told by our analysts, and I guess many of you in the room analyze pharmaceutical companies, that you want to know our free cash flow.
Yeah, that's why I'm surprised.
Free cash flow, I mean, with a very simple tweak, and basically, I mean, we can talk whether or not free cash flow should include the taxes or the interest payments. As long as it's disclosed, you guys, the analysts, can put it in all that. We run our business on free cash flow. And I'm sure, I'm amazed. I would have thought other industrial companies around the table have a lot of focus on the free cash flow.
It's what really surprised me.
Our definition of free cash flow takes account of CapEx.
Could I try and make sure I capture the flavor of the discussions in the group as a whole? Sorry, the group I was with as a whole? People weren't supportive of, we must have that in that total, but I think the general sense about identify which items you want information about in the statement of cash flow, I think the implication was that people would like to see that information about CapEx cash flows, but it wasn't critical that it be included in, that there be a pre-prepared calculation of with and without CapEx. I think the general sentiment in the group was identify which line items are important to understand the cash flows of the entity, and if CapEx are important, you would expect to see CapEx presented. And I think the implication was that users of financial statements could then figure out how they use that information.
Sure, I mean, I'm with Malcolm because the free cash flow to the firm or the enterprise free cash flow is such a common measure, and essentially Andrew's format gave that free cash flow number. So that's why I was quite surprised that fewer of the users seemed to be interested in it properly.
So our group was, because we avoided a lot of the direct indirect conversations, and we also got away from whether pools captured in cash is captured in strange countries, there actually was quite a lot of consensus within the group. There is consensus for free cash flow, at least in our group. Nobody got upset about that. My interpretation of this, the difference is that we also agreed that you couldn't break out free cash flow, we couldn't break out capital into sustaining and non-sustaining.
Sure.
So what you get, the problem you get is that if you're trying to, the free cash flow statement is fine, but if you're trying to then split out this operating piece, the operating piece versus the investment piece is arbitrary, because there was also a consensus that we couldn't, that number was always weird, and that ultimately, it's up to the analyst to figure out what is sustaining and what's not.
Okay.
In our group too. I think there was consensus in our group on that.
The maintenance versus expansion CapEx.
I'm
not surprised by that, but I was surprised by
the timing of operating or investing was being.
I'm sorry. No.
Let's go around the room this way. Let's spend another 10 minutes on this. It's interesting, but we'll go around the room this way. So, Peter first.
Well, just to say, we have free cash flow. We already have it.
Where do you have it? People tell me it's a non-GAAP measure. I cannot put it in any financial statements that go to the SEC. It's a non-GAAP measure. It's totally there in our financials. Why can I not disclose it?
That's a different point, but
it's not legitimized. I'm not allowed to show it. And that's what all my you guys who are analysts, that's all you want to know is our free cash flow.
Kevin?
There was one other thing.
No, and
you should get excited. there was one other thing that we highlighted in our group was this disconnect between if you purchase an asset or if you then invest in a business that has that asset, that would then get classified. That was one other aspect that we highlighted in our discussion.
Kevin?
I don't know why you would be surprised, because I think if that's Andrew's objective, it doesn't go that far. Our free cash flow calculation in our non-GAAP measures for Johannesburg and not for the SEC, it's operating profit or operating cash flows, less fixed assets, less interest, less contractual debt. That's my free cash flow. And so just deducting CapEx isn't...
Well, there are different definitions of free cash flow, of course.
I think it's just a definition of where you
make
call free cash flow.
In that direction, surely is...
So, it's not... If you want to get free cash flow, then this is not going to achieve what shareholders can get.
That's Malcolm's version of free cash flow.
Malcolm's version, but not ours, is what I can pay as dividends.
Okay, Marta?
Yeah, in our group, we actually subscribed pretty much to Malcolm's definition, and also for a conceptual reason, and that is that we thought that it would be best if the cash flow statement were to be linked with the income statement. So operating profit, whatever it means, is after depreciation. Therefore, operating cash flow should include the expenditures for capital, for CapEx. So that's so to link them up, that was our overriding principle behind the definition.
Two things. First of all, free cash flow is also a major indicator as in our industry, but we define it in the financial statements. So it's you have to add the cash flow for industrial companies, and you know what to add, and you have the figures, which is common by to the analysts. Secondly, we have also said in our meeting that investments is not always linked with the balance sheet. Because, for example, in R&D, the figure which is useful for everyone is a gross value that has been invested either in research, which is going to P&L, or in development, which is going to assets and will be amortized. So, in fact, the level of investment which is asked to be disclosed and comment is a figure which does not fit with the balance sheet and the P&L. Can reconstitute it. We do it in the notes, but it is not the amount you have in P&L. It is not the amount you have in balance sheet. It is a gross value invested for capex and R&D.
So in the notes, you add together the capex that's been capitalized and other investment spending
in R&D,
that has been expensed.
Yes.
So
and
your
the link,
R&D.
And we explain the link between the gross value and the amount in P&L.
So in Andrew's statement, both of those would be in the same place?
No, in Andrew's statements, in the cash flow statements,
yeah.
the investing is the amount you have put in balance sheet, in the KPN, in the assets. That's investing. And but the gross value, the value which is given to analysts, and they wish to get to have it, is the amount you invest each year for the future, I would say. And the amount you invest is either in R&D, either if it is research or development.
Okay.
Gross value.
I'm going to come to Mitch last, because I know that he's so passionate about this that he's sort of gearing himself up. Dennis, did you want to do a comment?
No, I think it was some observation we made, but I think if we talk about cash flow, there are clearly different perspectives on where we use it for. So if you think about performance measurement, then I would argue it's more Martijn's approach. And then I would say, yes, you need to think about depreciation and a proxy for, you know, replacing the assets. Kevin is more about, okay, what's left after I've done everything. And in Malcolm's case, it's more about the valuation. So when you think about different uses of cash flow, you'll inevitably end up with different types of definitions and also different ways you're going to treat this capital expenditure.
Yeah. Malcolm's thinking about enterprise free cash flow.
Yeah, there'll be more
Kevin's
be after everything.
Free
yeah,
cash flow.
There'll be, yeah.
And then you have unlevered free cash flow. If you talk about enterprise value, you need the unlevered free cash flow. That's you can go anywhere, but that's, I'm not sure if that's the way you want to organize the cash flow statement. I think you have to start with the P&L and then follow the cash flow statement out of there.
Okay, Mitch. To Matt, just because you don't include the capex and the cash from operations doesn't preclude an analyst from calculating free cash flow. Of course, we're all interested in free cash flow, but simply can get it by cash from operations less capex. That's you can that's your free cash flow statement. I don't what I want cash from operations to reflect is effectively the cash generative nature of the business. On a day-to-day kind of year-in, year-out basis, you throw CapEx in there, you're going to distort that number, you're going to create unnecessary volatility, because there are a lot of businesses that have quite lumpy CapEx, which reflects future cash flows, not current cash flows. So for me, it's like, we agree in the sense that free cash flow is an extremely important number, particularly to debt guys, but I can still get the number. I mean, it's...
Mitch, you'll hear me talk more about it, perhaps I'll talk too much about it in the next session, but I'm for much of my life as a preparer, I've been striving to produce information in the audited financials which is of use to the investment community. And it hurts me when there is information that is just pulling out a few lines in my cash flow statement, and I'm told by regulators, by the SEC, I cannot put that in my audited financial statements. That it's not a non-GAAP measure like, you know, eyeballs on a web page. It's simply rejigging, as you rightly say, Mitch, it's simply rejigging existing information and putting it in the format that I believe, and I'm hearing all the time from our analysts, you want to have. And why on earth do I have to go into every time I produce my financial statements and my press releases? You guys don't understand the challenges we have to stick to the IFRS rules, perhaps as interpreted by the SEC or by some other regulator. You guys don't understand the wasted effort that we have to go through just to rejig the information to produce information that internally we don't use. We use free cash. We use alternative, but we're not allowed to put. We're not. We drive the business on it.
I'm saying,
and we're not allowed to communicate what we drive the business on.
I'm saving you the effort of having to redo that.
No, you're not. You're making life broke. You think you are, Mitch, but you. We want to do it for you. Why should you stop us doing it for you? And we will tell you how we've done. We will tell you transparently how we do it. I don't want it to be called a non-GAAP measure.
Okay, so this session got a little bit passionate. But I anticipate the next one might be even a little bit more. Can we have a 10-minute break, and then we'll talk about the P&L instead.